Let's turn to God's Word and read together from the Gospel of John in chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, just listen carefully to the words that we will pick out of this passage. John's Gospel, the fourth Gospel, chapter 3, and verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered again, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, don't be surprised, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 10, Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a teacher, master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verse 14, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know that God does bless the public reading of his word. Every single person who is in this room tonight, young or old, as Steve has been telling you, will make a choice before you leave the building. Those of us who are saved tonight, those of us who are born again, those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, some a very long time ago. I might not look particularly old, but it's more than 50 years since I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Those of us who are saved tonight, let me tell you a kind of a little secret. I'm speaking from my own heart. That when the gospel of the grace of God is preached with power and might in the Holy Spirit, we can't get saved a second time. No. But a great many people, when they listen to the gospel preached, they just confirm by the Holy Spirit in their heart the reality of their own salvation. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I don't think that Pilate got it right. I don't think, in spite of every opportunity and so many verses, including possibly even a knowledge of the Old Testament, faced with every possible opportunity of getting it right, I think Pilate got it fundamentally wrong. Eternally so. For the worst of all reasons, he decided against Jesus Christ on the basis of popularity with the crowd. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, just in the closing minutes of this gospel meeting, about the necessity of making a choice. I cannot convince you against yourself. Not even the Spirit of God can persuade you against your own will to make the right choice. But before you go home tonight, you must make one choice or the other. I want to lift out of this lovely, beautiful, so familiar to many of us passage from the Word of God, just three lovely little points. I want to talk about the necessity of a change. I want to talk about the necessity of the cross. And I want to talk about the necessity of a choice. This man called Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, who knew most of the Old Testament books off by heart. Literally. He came to have a private conversation with Jesus. That was progress. That was good. The Pharisees, the council, the Sanhedrin, the men that you have been hearing about from Steve, who got together and unanimously agreed that for the good of the nation, Jesus must die. They were wrong, but they were also right. Caiaphas said, "Do you not know anything at all? It is expedient. It is politically necessary." No, it's divinely essential that one man who is innocent must give his life for the guilty. That's the gospel. Caiaphas condemned himself by the very thing that he said before the Sanhedrin. One man must die. And he must die for others. They condemned him and they became guilty. But Jesus Christ, my Savior, whom you have been hearing about tonight, the innocent Son of the eternal God, he died for our sin on the cross. And through faith in Jesus Christ tonight, I trust you're listening for your soul for eternity. You could make a wise decision tonight that would change your destiny and remove your doom and give you joy and peace and happiness and put your name in God's book and go home from this room tonight absolutely certain that you will never be in hell and that you will be in heaven with Jesus Christ forever when death comes. It should not be hard tonight to make the right choice. And yet some of you will go home tonight. You'll think that you're not going to make any choice. You'll say, "Listen, Dave, I'm just going to stay totally and completely neutral. Just let the time tick over, open the door and let me go out. Neither for nor against, I'll remain neutral." You can't be. You must make a decision tonight to listen, to believe, to understand, by faith to trust. Or just to say, "I don't want Jesus, I don't want the Savior." A dear friend of mine from PEI, I used to love to listen to him preach the gospel, Peter Orosok, he's now in heaven. He used to say, "There's nobody in the room that doesn't want to be saved." He used to say, "The problem is you just don't want to be saved now." There's nobody here that wants to go to hell, not one of you. But I'm frightened that there's some people in this room tonight and you've no interest whatsoever in trusting in Jesus Christ tonight. It was a good thing that Nicodemus got himself separated, I think by choice. He tried to pretend otherwise, you know, that's what people do. When faced with the gospel and the claims of Jesus Christ, they just put on a kind of front. We all did it for a long time. Some of us that grew up listening to the gospel and we got a little bit insulated against it, we actually got very good at putting on a front. So that even sometimes we thought that the preacher was fooled into thinking that we weren't listening. Quite often the preacher wasn't fooled. Quite often the person who was pretending not to listen was listening, and we forget that we can't fool the Spirit of God. Nicodemus did the right thing by singling himself out. He didn't come in a crowd. Nobody comes to Christ in a crowd. He didn't come in a group. He came by himself. But when he faced the challenge of sitting down in front of Jesus Christ by himself, you know what? His courage failed a little bit and began to talk about the we of his group and his background. We know. He had to admit before he got halfway down the conversation that he actually didn't know at all. You know, there are a great many people and they grow up listening to the gospel and they think they know. If you ask them questions outside, they would say, "I know how to be saved. I know what the gospel says. I know how to trust in Jesus Christ. You know what, mister? I could do it when I want." There are some people not here tonight. You know why they're not here? Because they know exactly what is going on in here. They know the gospel is being preached. And if you were talking to some of those people outside, if you met them by chance on the street tomorrow, you would say, you know what, mister, I know the gospel. And the truth is, if I wanted to be saved, I could. And that's wrong. Because there is not one single person that ever trusted in Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God was speaking to their heart. You can't open the fridge door and take out salvation. You can't go into the closet and find salvation on a shelf. No man can come to the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God is drawing him. This man, Nicodemus, he was being brought to face with Jesus by the power of the Spirit of God, singled out of the crowd, singled out from the Pharisees, singled out by himself and facing Jesus Christ alone. And he did like a whole lot of other people do nowadays. He tried to start a great big religious argument and conversation. Oh, I've met lots of people like that. As soon as you tell them you're a gospel preacher and you travel around the world preaching the gospel, they think they'll impress you or else confuse you with a great big religious argument. One of the most amazing things in this story of Nicodemus, you can read it for yourself when you go home, is that the things that he said, it seems to be that Jesus never answered. And the things that Jesus said seem to have nothing to do with the questions that Nicodemus asked. You say, was Jesus confused? Not in the slightest. He was answering the questions of the heart, not the questions of the lip. And the Spirit of God works on the inside, and the Spirit of God works with the heart. Jesus said, Nicodemus, listen good, I'm going to say it twice. I'll tell you, dear soul, when you start in the book of Genesis and read through to the book of Revelation, you discover that God doesn't repeat himself very often. And when God says something twice, he means it tremendously important. Quite often, preachers that stand up here, they repeat themselves a little bit. Sometimes because they forget what they've already said, sometimes because they think that you're not listening, and sometimes they just repeat it for emphasis. God doesn't just repeat things for emphasis. And he certainly never repeats something because you might have forgotten he said it before. And one of the great studies in this chapter, John 3, is the number of times that Jesus said important things twice. He said, Nicodemus, are you listening? I'm going to say it twice. And he put this strange expression that only John uses in front of it as well. Verily, verily, truly, truly. It actually means amen. You see, when we pray and speak to God, everybody else waits until the conclusion to hear what we've said, and then they say amen at the end. Only God can say amen at the beginning. And this word, verily, verily, it actually means truly, truly, amen, amen. Jesus is giving Nicodemus every opportunity, every warning, every marker post to understand this. What is coming next is the most important thing you ever heard in all your life. Jesus said, verily, verily, truly, truly. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said it twice. Nicodemus, are you listening? You must be born again. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Dear soul, dear young person, dear Christian's child, dear visitor, dear friend, dear older one, dear bored person in the room tonight, Jesus said it twice and so must I. You must be born again. The necessity of a change. Why? Because we've all been born wrong. That's what Nicodemus didn't understand. He thought, I've been born a Jew. I've become a Pharisee. I've learned the Old Testament. I believe in God. And all of those things did not mean at all that his sins were forgiven or he was ready for heaven. Jesus said, Nicodemus, stop talking and listen. I'm going to say it twice. You must be born again. You know, the old Pharisee didn't get it. He didn't understand it at all. All his knowledge of the Old Testament, somehow or other, it wasn't even helping him any longer. He said, do you mean that I can be born over again? Do I need to go back to where I came from out of my mother's womb and start again? You know, if children said that or adults said that, we'd say you're being silly. Jesus is very gracious when he's speaking to this man. What are you really saying this, Nicodemus? Even if you could, it would make no difference whatsoever because you'd just be born wrong the second time. I guarantee there are people down in the streets in Kamloops today, and if you were asking them what they're going to do about the future and getting right with God, you know what they'd say? They'd say, I'm going to start over again and do it better the second time. Back home in Ireland, where I come from, my home country, they talk about turning over a new leaf. They'll say, I got a clean page. I'm not going to do the drugs ever again. I'm not going to use those language words ever again. I'm not going to smoke that stuff or any kind of stuff ever again. I'm going to keep a clean sheet and God's going to be... Apart from the fact that it won't last one day, they seem to have forgotten about all the dirty pages that they've turned over. My Bible says God requires everything that has passed. Never mind the sins that you think you might be able not to do before tomorrow morning. Jesus said, Nicodemus, even you could go right back to the day of your birth and even your gestation in the womb and come out again and learn to talk and learn to walk and never lie and never cheat and never do anything wrong. It still wouldn't matter at all because you have to be born again by the Spirit of God. Every single person in the room tonight who's going to heaven, they've been born again by the Spirit of God. I told the story recently in the Gospel. I'll tell it again tonight, back home in Ireland where I come from. I had a friend of mine. He came from another church, but that didn't matter. He was a true believer in the Lord Jesus. He was doing a job of work at my house, and he was wearing his working clothes and his big steel toe cap boots and his tool belt. You know what? He didn't look anything at all like a preacher, and that was good, because he was going to do a job after he left my house at the house of my friend called Brian. Brian's not saved. Brian's mother died recently of a terrible disease, but Brian's mother was born again. She was saved, and his mom's in heaven, and he knows that. Brian knows the gospel. And if I go to preach to Brian, he doesn't listen. He gets defensive because he knows who I am and he knows my job. I said to my friend, who was also called Dave, with the tool belt and the steel toe cap boots and the blue jeans, I said, Dave, if you're going to work at Brian's house, maybe you could try and get a word in the gospel. He said, Dave, you pray and I'll preach. And he told me the story afterwards. He went down to Brian's house and he started a nice conversation halfway up an aluminium ladder. He's talking to Brian down there and Brian's interested. And the conversation moved around and Brian said, you know, Dave, I lost my mummy last year. She's in heaven. And my friend Dave came down the ladder and he put his finger in Brian's chest. He said, tell me, son, are you going to see your mum in heaven? And he said, well, you know, Dave, I'm a good person. And Dave said back to him, well, you know, son, that means you're going to hell. And Brian was surprised. He was shocked. He stepped back. He said, what do you mean? Dave said, good people don't go to heaven. Good people go to hell. Maybe that's a shock for someone in the room tonight. Maybe you think that drug addicts and thieves and murderers and rapists and bad people go to hell. Heaven's filled with people like that because they ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness for their sins. There's lots of good people that are in hell tonight because they never found out in time, or else they ignored the warning that being good and being decent and being civilized doesn't make you fit for heaven. It just keeps you in the condition in which you were born. My friend Dave, he said to Brian, listen, son, he said, there's only one way that you can get to heaven, for he said, I'm not a good person either. I'm just a saved sinner whose sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus. He said, Brian, if you want to see your mommy in heaven again, don't tell God you're a good person. You cry out to God and tell him you're a wicked sinner. And God will be satisfied to hear you confess your sin. And God will forgive your sin because he laid your punishment on his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. I tell you, if anybody in Jerusalem had thought they were a good person, it was Nicodemus. If anybody in Jerusalem had thought they were a religious person, it was Nicodemus. If anybody in Jerusalem had thought they were a regular church-attending, fasting, Bible-reading, holy person, it was Nicodemus. Jesus said, Nicodemus, there needs to be a big change. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, I don't understand the whole thing at all. I need a simpler explanation. Jesus said a very strange thing to Nicodemus. He said, just like Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You say, mister, that's not more understanding, that's more confusing. Well, you see, Nicodemus knew all those chapters in the book of Numbers off by heart. He knew the story of the children of Israel and how they were going with Moses through the wilderness to the promised land. God gave them food enough every day. God gave them shoes that didn't wear out for 40 years. God gave them clothes that never needed to be changed. God gave them meat when they wanted it. God gave them fresh water every day. God gave them food. And what did they do? Did they give God thanks? No, they grumbled. And God turned off his patience. God's patience doesn't run out because it can't. But reverently speaking, God can turn his patience off, and he could do it with you tonight. And if he did, you'd be in hell before the morning. God sent poisonous snakes through the grass and the camp and the sand, and it bit the people and many of them dead. They came to Moses, strangely enough, they didn't feel that they were able to pray for themselves. Mind you, they should have done. They didn't need Moses. They could have, like my friend Dave said, they could have cried out to God from their own heart. But they came to Moses and they said, Moses, ask God for us to take away the snakes. I'm glad God didn't do what they asked. Because every single person who was already bitten would have died. God said, no, I've got a better plan. God has always got a better plan. Do you know that? God has had a perfect plan from eternity. It's just that you don't want to hear it and you don't want to believe it. You think that you've got a better plan than God. Your plan involves being a better person. God says that's the worst plan of all. The plan that I made from eternity is that I would send my Son to die on the cross for guilty sinners, so that I could fill heaven with people who were saved and had trusted in Jesus Christ. Moses told the people, because God told Moses, he said, make a copper snake. It looks like a model of the snakes that have been biting. And pierce it, and raise it, and lift it on a pole. God understood the picture, even though they didn't. And God said to Moses, tell the people that they have to understand. No, because they couldn't understand. It's like the gospel, dear soul. You don't have to understand it. You'll go to hell trying to understand the gospel, but you can go to heaven if you believe the gospel. And God told Moses to tell the people, all you have to do is look and live. You couldn't make the gospel more simple than that, could you? Every single person who was bitten, every single person who felt the poison in their body, every single person who felt the paralysis of the snake bite getting closer to their heart, all they had to do was look and say, God said it, so I believe it. He said, look and live, and if I look, I will live, and so they did. They were instantaneously better. Nicodemus knew that story off by heart. Jesus told him something absolutely astonishing that he had never heard before. Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the snake and the pole in the wilderness 1500 years ago, even so must the Son of Man. That's a title that applied to the prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus took that title for himself. Because not only was he the Son of God, he became a prophet who spoke about himself and his death and his sacrifice. He was the greatest of all prophets. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross at Golgotha, that whosoever believes in him should not perish like the bitten, poisoned Israelite, but look by faith to the cross of Jesus and be saved and have everlasting life. The necessity of a change. Dear soul, tonight I'm telling you with the love of God in my heart, you must be born again. And if you're asking how, and if there's one in the room tonight who would love to be saved, here is the answer for it, the necessity of the cross. Jesus said the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? Because God so loved the world. Quite often we start with verse number 16 in John chapter 3. We forget it's the middle of a whole conversation. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? Because God so loved the world. Well, you say, but Dave, can you explain to me why God loved the world? No, I can't. But God said, because I love the world, the Son of Man must be lifted up. There is absolutely no explanation tonight for why God loves me. There is no explanation tonight for why God loves you. But God's eternal love was perfectly forever in His Son. And God said, I want to fill people with heaven whose sins have been forgiven, who have trusted in my Son for salvation. For God so loved the world. If Nicodemus had been told that God loved the Jews, I think he might still have been surprised. Because a great many of the people in the Old Testament, they had come somehow to believe that God was a God of anger and judgment. And God is angry with the wicked every single day, but God is a God of love. And God's also a God of justice. God cannot set His anger aside, and God cannot overlook your sin. But God says, I can cover your sin judicially and perfectly and redemptively. Why? Because your sin can be covered by the blood of my Son. When God looks at me, He doesn't see my sin, and He never will again. When God looks at me, He sees a cleansed, saved sinner. Because there was a day in my experience when I trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ to cover my sin from God's sight forever. The necessity of the cross, the Son of Man must be lifted up. The necessity of a choice. Ye must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that the world through Him must be saved. No, it doesn't say that. That's universalism. That's God must take everybody to heaven because He loves them all. He does love them all, but He must not take them, and He can't. That the world through Him might be saved. God cannot save you against your will. And God cannot take you to heaven unless your sins are forgiven. I could preach a very different message and start over again and tell you about things that God can't do. Oh, you see, Dave, I thought that God could... No, He can't. God cannot lie. God cannot deny Himself. And God cannot save a sinner against His own will. The Spirit of God is waiting tonight. And the Son of God, who's bearing the wounds of Calvary that you were hearing about tonight, He's sitting on the throne of God in heaven. And God the Father is waiting as well tonight. I speak reverently. The whole of the Trinity combined together. The Spirit of God who's speaking in this room. And the Son of God who's sitting on the throne in heaven. And this Father God who's waiting for sinners to trust in His Son. They're waiting for you tonight to exercise your will. The world might be saved. That a guilty sinner in the room tonight would say, I don't want to go to hell. I'd love to be in heaven. I believe I am a guilty sinner, and I do believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for my sin. The necessity of a change, you must be born again. The necessity of the cross, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. I've come to the end, and I'm right back where Steve started. You have to make a choice tonight. You've got a responsibility. The message demands an answer, and the message demands a reaction, and the message demands a choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, for the world through him might. And you could be tonight saved if you trust in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sin.